All right, guys, welcome to the first episode of the Amateur Trading Podcast.
Let's go!
Come on.
So, straight into it. I suppose with the first question, you guys can introduce yourself. We can probably start with Timmy. And like the first question,
I knew you were going to come to me first.
So, I suppose introduce yourself. How did you get into trading?
Wow. All right. Let's see. Well, hey, folks. Timmy here. Timmy Sasor. How did I get into trading? Actually, pretty recent. Still an amateur. Very fitting name. I started around, what was it? Early March. Actually, no, March. It was actually March. And
Pandemic time?
Pandemic time, absolutely. Bear in mind, I've actually been trying to get in for quite some time, for years now, but I was just super lazy. You know, I just didn't think I had the time to actually, you know, put in the research, actually follow my money. But then I figured, you know, I'm at home and not spending any money, not going anywhere. So actually, let's give this a try. So obviously started with positive experience, and that led to, you know, a few good wins, and I just, you know, stuck with it. So yeah, never looked back.
Do you mind me asking what platform you use?
Yes. Oh, actually, I don't mind. So in the States, we have several. And so I use this platform called TD Ameritrade.
Okay.
And so you have TD Ameritrade, you have E-Trade, and, you know, several others. And for quite some time, well, prior to, and I think it was a couple of years ago, you had to pay to actually, you know, subscribe to this platform, and then you get charged.
So now it's free.
Now it's absolutely free.
Isn't that interesting? A lot of the guys are making it free now because nobody's trying to miss out on this rush.
Not only is it free, but some actually incentivize you by giving you a free share when you join.
I saw that.
Right?
I saw
that. Robin Hood. Yeah. And so, you know, but I mean, I like to get married to it because of the features and it works for me.
All right. Yeah. I know Gabe's been on this a lot longer than the rest of us.
Gabe's the chief.
He's the Ogala. So tell us your story.
Just because I've been on it a long time, that just means I've lost the most money. let me. So, unofficially, when I was back in my undergrad, I was studying accountancy back then, when I heard about Warren Buffett, that got me interested in it unofficially. Okay, I was just reading, not doing much, just watching from the outside, imagining all my unrealized profits. So officially, during my master's, I had a class called Financial Theory and Markets, and the lecturer was a trader. So he used to be a trader. Okay. And he would tell us stories, and it was super interesting learning from someone who actually has the practical, not just academic side of it. Mm. And then because of that, a few of the people in the class, we opened up a paper account and we started trading. Just nothing crazy, just trying to see what we could do. All on crude oil, of course. We all made so much money really fast and then lost it even faster.
Wow.
And ever since then, it's like, oh, wow, I need to give this a try. And that's...
So what age were you when you started?
What age? I'm not 100% sure. Maybe let's just say I started actually trading, like trying to trade paper accounts as well.
Like, back then, what were the platforms? What were the product? Like, were you trading stocks or like was it futures?
Oh, we were doing everything.
Jeez.
Not much on stocks because back then we were using, obviously with the paper accounts, leverage. So we were just going on futures, currencies, anything that you could. You need the least amount of money to fund to make the most crazy.
Gabe should be in a different podcast. Yeah, he's definitely an amateur.
But we lost money. Like, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't keep track. We just went with the flow.
Like, Gabe, what would you say? Is it much different now compared to back when you started?
Like, what you mean? Am I much different or...?
No, is the actual process of trading, like, now compared to when you still started?
It's much easier now. Hmm. Much easier. A lot more names, a lot more brokers. So, like, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to lose your money. So many different ways to lose your money, you could say, with the offers they give you. But
okay. All right, moving on to Auntie Sarah.
Hey guys, Sarah here. Sarah Adekola, even though people like to say Adekola. So how did I get into trading / investing, or how did I learn about it? I suppose it started, I think, over 3 years ago when I started working in robotic surgery. Because with my company, you get stocks. So you get stocks for free. And then I was like, okay, what is this thing? What are these stocks? What's going on? And all my colleagues would tell me that you'd get so many shares or whatever, and then it would just add up to money. I was like, so this is essentially free money. And then I think I sat on that and didn't do anything and just had my company stocks. And then I think at the beginning of this year, I realized that when I started working with my company, I got shares at 366 euros, and now they're like 700. I'm like, I need to start. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I get shares every single year. And I said, okay, now I actually need to start investing myself in other companies. They were listening to the Oracle of Omaha, Warren Buffett, and different investing strategies. I just said, right, I'm going to do it. And like the Roni Roni made me do it as well. And I reached out to Gable. I was like, Gable, what platforms can I use to invest and all that kind of stuff? So I started investing through DeGiro and Revolut, and I'm currently using those two, and I have E-Trade for my company stocks.
Okay.
So yeah, it's going okay so far. We've lost some money. We've made a little bit of money.
That's the thing, though. You really have to be ready to lose money, right? So when I started, I used to be like, you know, I'm going to start with this very small amount of money, right? I'm like, okay, at least if I lose it all, it's fine. But then I'm like, I lost a big chunk of that small amount of money. I'm like, you know what? I can deal with it, right? But then I made a lot. I'm like, ooh, okay. And then you get addicted and you put more money in and then you lose more money.
The addictive side is something we need to talk about later anyway. But
There was something I said to Isaac that I heard in the book. It was like, trading is an education, okay? And all your losses, that is your tuition.
That is your tuition.
So that is your tuition towards your education.
In fact, we're going to talk about the circumstances that led to that advice, because it was big.
My tuition is so big.
WFC.
But, okay, so it sounds like, compared to all of you guys, I'm probably the newest in here to trading.
I can't wait to hear your story.
Which is weird, because I'm like, actually, I've been studying accounting and finance from the jump. You know, so I understood the theory of a lot of this stuff. You know, in terms of like, we've done all the, you know, how to value companies and all this. I don't know the finance module. I think maybe like 7 years ago, I tried to look into it. I found out the fees to even get involved, like the capital to even start. I was like, yeah. So I always just put it away in my mind as something that look was too difficult to even get into. The company that I spoke to, the kind of capital that they were asking me to even start with, I was like, nah, like if I had that amount of money, I'm not taking it to go possibly lose it, right? And then the Roni Roni happened, as Sarah would say, and Timmy called me and he was like, dude, I called Timmy just to chat, just to catch up. Like, how are you doing? He's like, dude, you need to get into trading. I was like, okay. He was like, I'm serious. You need to get into this. I was like, all right, I'll look into it. Left it alone, called him the next week to catch up again. And someone was like, did you look into it? I was like, nah. But you said you look into it. I was like, okay. I'll actually look into it. And then I remember a Falabi from my church. He decided to put together like a trading teaching thing for Redeem, because I think a few people got into FX trading. And they lost a lot of money. They lost so much money. And it was like they were targeting people in church.
Oof.
Yeah, like, wow. You know, the teenagers in church. And these guys were just losing money. So Afolabi was like, look, I'm going to set up a seminar and I'm going to actually teach people how to invest. So I went to that seminar with my pen and paper, fam. Took all the lessons there, downloaded a trading account. I used eToro because that's what Afolabi was using. And that was about March, and it's been an adventure, man.
Let me tell you about this guy, right? So when he started, when we were kind of chatting back and forth, I'm like, dude, you gotta get on this thing. And he's like, okay, yeah, I'll get on it, like he said. But the moment he started, right, my goodness, the amount of YouTube videos I would get, Check this out. My guy, I can't watch all this video in like 2 minutes. Just tell me what it's about.
Oh yeah, that was so good. Just tell me. Stop sending me videos. Just tell me what's in the video.
But they were, I mean, and I'm pretty sure he watched them all, but they were back to back to back. I'm like, okay, sure. What do you want me to buy?
Yeah. And that's something that I call accelerated learning. You know, like, it's been interesting anyway, because kind of like what Gabe said, I know what Tim said, I started with small money. And then I realized that, look, I wasn't really making any money.
Yeah.
Like, I'm up 5%, $10. Like,
like, what is that?
Lunch. Like, man, that's lunch.
What's this?
Baby trading.
Yeah, so Timmy told me, I was like, Timmy, how much do you actually have in your portfolio? And he told me, and I was like, what? You put out that much in? He was like, yeah, you actually need to put in money to make money. So so that's how I got started. So I suppose the question I'll ask each of you guys is, would you recommend this to other people? I'll start with Gabe.
Okay. So yes, I would recommend it. Okay, but I would set some rules. Okay, I like my rules. So I would suggest you...
Give them one rule. If it's down 1%, run the other way.
1% of equity. 1% of equity.
And never return.
So basically, you have to split your portfolios between your bingo money and your heist money. Bingo money meaning your short to medium term investments, and then heist money being your long-term investments. So generally they say a split of 5 to 95%, like 5% one, 95% the other is better, but no, it's the best. But
what comes up with these rules though? I want to know. Like,
no, I want to say at the end of the day, it's up to you. Okay, right. It's just a risk management rule, essentially. But and when it comes to rebalancing and all that kind of stuff, it just depends on how much drift you want to leave. But essentially, it just makes it easier for you to be able to put the money out there if you know that you have money that's secured in long-term investment, then you have these stuff that you can take short to medium-term risks.
Okay, you're saying it actually helps you to even be a little bit more risky knowing that you already have this little nest egg on this side. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
All right, Sarah?
Absolutely. I would tell anyone to definitely start investing and trading. It's a way of making your money make money. The way I see it is if I have money in my account, next year it's going to be worth less than it is. Whereas if I invest that money and trade it, it potentially would be worth a lot more, but I could lose money. So I'd say two things if you're going to start investing: invest in educating yourself first. Understand all the terminology, trading and investing. Know what ETFs are, know what PE ratios are. That's really important. Mm. The second thing, don't just go in and just be putting money on any different stock. Have a strategy and invest, understand what you're investing in. Mm-hmm. And then the only caveat is be ready to lose money to learn. Yeah.
Be ready. What you said about educating is, I think, is so important, because I feel like it's never been easier to educate yourself on this stuff than it is now. Or is that just me?
I agree 100%. I mean, it may sound like cliched at this point, but like YouTube, man, think about having so many like unofficial teachers. Everybody has something to say.
It's going up, hasn't it?
And absolutely, but everyone, I mean, kudos to them. They're doing the research, right? They're spending time, and of course they need to get paid, right, by YouTube, but at their own time, I'm taking advantage of that. Like, I can watch stuff like 2x speed, 2x speed, and picture out what's I'm not going to see through a 45-minute trading video. Of course not. Mm-hmm. But, if I can get anything, of course, you can read other stuff as well.
Yeah.
But I think it is, to your point, it's super easy now compared to, I kind of imagine what it was like 20, 30 years ago.
Jeez. And to be honest, I think we might even put one or two YouTubers' names out that we listen to. But I like the YouTubers.
Now you're making their mom money. No.
Wait, before you mention their names, before you watch anyone, you have to make sure about the quality of the information.
No, honestly, the only YouTubers I watch are the ones that
don't mention.
The ones that show their actual portfolio.
Exactly.
I want to see how you're performing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what Sarah said is important, because at the same time, you can listen to YouTube videos, but if you don't understand the stock for yourself, that's when things like a dip might happen and you might run away because you don't really understand what's
going on. You've been there before.
I've been there before.
You have to do your homework.
You have to
at the end of the day. You have to do your homework.
All right. I suppose, okay, so Gabe answered the question. Timmy, did you answer the question?
No, I haven't. I think for me, clearly, because, you know, I sort of pressured you to get into it, right? But yeah, here's how I see it, though, like two ways. So on one hand, if you have, chances are a lot of people, okay, I can't say a lot of people, several people have savings account, right? Savings account, they have a bank account. To Sarah's point, you can make your money make, you know, work for you, right? So if you have your money in your savings account, there's very less chance that the interest rate is higher than your than stock, right? You can actually make twice, triple, or whatever it is. There's actually more room for you to gain more. So you can take a portion of that and just put it into something you're comfortable with. Prime example, ETF, right? Just stuff like a slow exposure. And also the other part is chances are, I mean, if you have a relatively good job, you're actually trading. I said, well, yes, you're trading, but somebody's in control of that, right? Mm. So we all get stocks and, you know, we get our, you know, 401k in America, it's called 401k, you know, part of our, you know, salary goes directly into this, your retirement fund. And then in the cloud, somebody's actually controlling that and, you know, investing that for you. So when time comes, when you retire, you actually have quite a big portion. That guy.
That's actually, right? That's actually a good point. A lot of people don't realize they're already.
You don't realize it, right? How cool is it to actually have control of some portion of it, or of your own, start your own, you know, retirement fund. So I think that's pretty cool. You have a say where you want to invest and where you don't want to invest. So I think I would 100% recommend it. No matter how much you have, just, it's $20 or $50, just put into something and you can make $100.
And I think I would be the same as well. I think when it really clocked for me is like, and to be honest, I don't want to lie to people. Like, okay, what the worst that would happen is, listen, you will lose money. And like, I like that with us, we are quite transparent about the money that we've lost. When I was losing money on like on Wells Fargo, you guys were all there. You guys saw the amount of money.
That stuff was hurting me so much.
It was a lot of money. It was a lot of money I was losing. I couldn't believe my eyes. But here's the thing. It's been 6 months. Even with the money I've lost and the money I've gained, I've still literally made times six what my money was making in the bank. And that's what, exactly. That's what people need to understand. It's like,
I think you need to just go through that first one, sorry, Isaac, to sort of your first loss. Like, you just need to go through your first rough one, which, like, gets you to the core.
Mm.
And then, like, okay,
just get out
right, tuition. So now you're like, you know, I can stop this anytime. I don't care. I've lost about 5%. I'm going to stop this. You know, I've lost 10%, whatever. I'll stop it. And then go to another one. There's so many stocks out there. Like,
yeah.
Just be bold enough and go.
I feel like Isaac's loss in what's called West Fargo was a communal loss. Because when he told me about that, he didn't even ask. I was doing calculations on what percentage of his position he should shave off to add to other positions.
I remember
I was like, Isaac, you need to do this and then shave this percentage
off
and
add it to this.
Like, I was like, wait, it's not even my position. I don't even know.
I remember that.
I'm watching like, it daily.
We went through that
do
together.
Risk management for him.
We went through that together. And to be honest, let's look at that story, right? So in case, and just to let, to get for people to have the full context. So I invested money into Wells Fargo. Seemed like a good idea at the time because they were quite
cheap. So bullish in Wells Fargo.
It was a lot of money because they were one of the highest dividend paying guys at that time. So I was like, I'm just gonna put my money here and I'm just gonna collect dividend. The Fed puts out a report where slashing Wells Fargo's dividend. What? The whole thing started dropping. I was like, oh my god. That's what Gabe told me, listen, don't let your losses run. And Timmy also mentioned to me that like the only reason why you stay in a stock while you're making losses is if you believe in the fundamentals. If the fundamentals have changed, your strategy needs to change. So I invested in it because it was meant to be a good dividend paying stock and it was meant to be cheap at the time. Those two fundamentals changed. It was no longer cheap, and they were no longer paying dividends. I took the money from there, what was left. And I remember I put the money into Baba and JD. And within a week, I made all my money back and more. And I remember we all celebrated the money coming back. I was like, yes. So
it might be fair to add that your jump from selling it once your two fundamentals were broken wasn't as quick because the whole psychological aspect of it all.
Yeah, actually, like, because That's another thing, right? It's like, that's another reason why people don't really take those losses, because until it's realized, it's not real, right? So you're like,
yes.
You're like, once I hit this button, it's real.
But if you're in a losing position for a week, oh my God, that hurts. Mm. Watching other stocks grow, stocks that you had in your watches that you wanted to buy, watching them grow while your one is just, oh, I'm waiting for this one to get up, I'm waiting for this one to go. Horrible position. Just cut it. Cut it in half and then stay in the position, let it grow a little bit more. And then, like, you can risk that a little bit, but just take some of the losses off and then put it somewhere else.
Question for the group. Sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, I was going to say, that actually brings up a really good point. Rather than letting your losses run, cut it and rebalance. So taking that money and putting it into other stocks that you think have better growth potential that will actually allow you to make that money back. Mm. And that's something I've been doing myself as well. So definitely recommend.
What's the deepest we've gone in terms of, percentage-wise? Gabe, we know you. It's 1%. You're out.
No. No. You have to depend on which portfolio. That's very good. I'm never going to live this down, you know?
Well, I think the answer to that question for me is, I think 20% anyway. But Wells Fargo was 20%, wasn't it?
No, let him go. Ask the full question.
So, I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, what's the deepest you've gone? And, like, how long was it? How long were you looking at this stuff? And the reason why I asked that question is, right, there's always that part of you is like, I'm already at 20%. I'm already in too deep at this point. Might as well just wait it out.
Wait 5 years. I'll wait for 5 years for it to get back.
In that timeline, you're saying that it goes to 25%. So Isaac, for you, is 20%, right? Sarah, what about you?
I think for PLTR, it might have been more at one point.
Sorry, can we say that again? I missed what you said.
So what's the deepest percentage loss you've ever, you know?
Like 36%, and that was on T. Like, that sucks off, man. I lost money.
Serious money.
And I had like 145 shares, and I had to sell some of them because the whole only reason I had PIX was because of the whole coronavirus and the fact that they were moving towards ethanol and they could produce the sanitizers and everything. But then Pfizer's coming out with the vaccine that's 95%.
Mm. That was my fault.
But wait, what are you doing? Were you the one that recommended the stock?
I did, and I'm still holding.
I don't blame Tammy at all, because that stock, okay, it went up so much, okay. I had multiple chances to take profits. And I mean multiple. And the profits were big. Multiple chances. But what did I do? I watched. I watched it go up and I watched it go down. And then now I've come up with my new strategy of taking profits.
Which you're going to share with us later?
Yes.
Which I'm going to share with you later. Once I've done some tests. Right now I'm still testing about it. So a few calculations anyway. But like, if I had implemented this with PEIX, I would have taken profits near, close enough to near the high, and then I would let the position would have run. Then the position would have went up again. I could be able to take profit the second time. Yes. And then I would be running down, but it would only be like a smaller position. Yeah. So I missed that chance. And for my calculation, now I know I could have done it, but missed my chance.
So did you sell as well?
Well, I have a really small position. I climbed up high.
You guys are making me nervous. I'm still holding my entire position. I'm hoping I'm not wrong. There's a high chance I'm probably going to be wrong.
All right, guys, I want to cut in because unfortunately we are a bit tight with time. So I'll just give you guys the last question, and we'll wrap it up from here. So the last question is: what is your darling stock for everybody? So I'll start with Gabe.
Yeah, because mine will be quick because I don't really. So I thought about it.
He doesn't do Jordan stocks. He doesn't have loads.
He has a list. Look at him.
No. I don't have a list. So, darling stock. My definition of a darling stock, okay, which is a stock that falls past your stop loss and you still don't activate, like by reducing the position. You keep the whole position, like Temi's PIX. But so that's my definition of a darling stock, and that obviously I see that now as a really bad idea of having a darling stock, because of course if you're wrong, waiting for the market to prove you right is a painful and expensive game. So I don't really have a darling stock, but I do have a stock I really like. So that is CrowdStrike. So they are a cloud software system. cloud software company, okay? And they have a large ecosystem. They've endpoint security. So once you move to their cloud system, they can offer you a wide range of products. It's like downloading new apps, essentially. That's how easy it is. So they're said to be the cloud software version of Salesforce.
Mm.
And they are around a tenth of the size of Salesforce.
Right.
So that's if everything does go to fruition and it does converge, then they should be able to grow that high. But it's a very good company and I really like it. Of course, if it reaches my take profit or my stop loss, it's gone. But not gone completely, but position will be cut. But
okay.
It's my favorite stock right now.
All right. Moving on to Timmy. What's your darling stock?
Darling stock, man. Gabe's definition is at least for me, it's the right definition, but I don't go with that definition. I go with just whatever gets the most profit is my darling stuff. All right,
whatever is treating you well.
Absolutely, you're such a darling.
No loyalty.
For me, it's no surprise. It's Neo, right? NIO, and my goodness, those guys are onto something. I hear every time, am I too late to get into Neo? It's never too late to get into Neo.
Yeah. I'm still waiting to get in.
Me too.
I'm in already.
Go, girl.
But to be fair, all the people that I know that are in, while I was still here asking questions, they're all up. So shout out to you.
But no, honestly, though, those guys are onto something. The amount of cars they deliver, you know, each quarter and even next year, 2021.
Yeah, I'm hearing some stuff about the sedan and all that. Like, it's going to be.
Yeah. But the thing about that space is, and I'll make this very quick, is it's getting slowly sort of populated, right? So there is this part of, okay, maybe I should sit out Neo and just be on the lookout for another, EV company. And that's probably, that could be a good strategy because just the news alone drives that stock. Right, so the news about Neo and Xpeng and Workhorse will essentially drive the new the numbers for another up and comer, even though they might not have anything. Yeah. So you can really use that to your advantage. If Neo is already a prize for you, then you can chill, maybe just wait for a dip, or just chill out for another company or on the horizon. There's several already that are showing promising signs. So for me, it's Neo. I need to just learn how to take my profits. I'm waiting for Gabe to teach us how to do that. But right now, I am chilling.
Yeah. Okay. Sarah, darling?
I think no surprises here. It's Tesla, of course. Tesla, baby. I honestly, when I think of Tesla, I think of three things: growth, potential, and innovation. Mm. Like, for me, they're what they are planning on doing and the different things they're coming out with, their different models, the Cybertruck, the whole solar panel and renewable energy, the robo taxis. It's just so exciting. It's so innovative and it's different. And I think if you look at the fact that they're entering the S&P 500, they've been profitable now 5 quarters. It's just giving us more momentum and we're more excited to see what they're going to come out with. And Elon as well, he's just...
Elon for president.
Yeah, we have to do an episode on the EV market just in general at some point.
I agree.
Yeah,
boy.
Yeah, for me it's Palantir, and it was very close because I do love Tezzy, but for me right now it's Palantir, and because for me it fits the definition of what Gabe, because I've withstood some big losses in Palantir, because I bought early at the IPO, and guys, it looks like we are running out of time. So
no, it's unlimited. Okay. Now you get free.
Bye,
upgrade.
Guys.
No.
This means free upgrade by the host.
Really?
All right, yeah, let's go. Okay, we're good. Let's go.
Oh, we're coming up not long already.
I feel like it all.
Yeah, for me, it's Palantir. I just feel like. I don't want to go into the technicals, but what they've been able to accomplish so far, the things that it's still quite secretive, but from the information I'm able to get, some of the things that people are claiming that they're able to do is quite impressive. And the fact that they're so heavily backed by the US government, some people don't like the fact that a lot of their revenue streams are so heavily concentrated. Their customer base is just so, look at Gabe, he is not a fan of that. To me, I think that only speaks to their competence. Like every time we check, like the last few times we checked, they've already got it. They've gotten like seven new
contracts or whatever. Yeah.
And now they're even looking to strike deals with other foreign governments as long as it doesn't conflict with the U.S. government, because they're very patriotic for some reason.
No, with Biden, I think it's gonna be a lot better for them.
Yeah. And I'm seeing also, and it says a lot to their, even their commercial product is also being very well developed. I'm a big fan of, like, I think they were talking about how they can, if they're a part of the setup for a car manufacturer, they can actually use their data to identify the first part of the car that will break down first. And the company can actually allocate resources to making replacement parts or I suppose warranties to those specific parts. I think the future for us, based on the way our economy is going, is going to be very data driven, and Palantir seems to be at the forefront of that. So
can I just say, you know, we gotta give it up to Isaac, because, you know, he came up with that. But here's the thing about this group, and I don't think we actually spoke about it, is each and everyone here, and maybe we should have started with just how this group came about. I think that would have been a pretty cool and unique story. Mm. But each and everyone in this group has thrown a jam or two, at least one, that everyone has sort of benefited or should have benefited, right? I think that's the unique part.
Should have benefited. It's a good one, because I've seen you guys jump on something like,
right, I mean, it's the same thing. Sometimes I'm like, and here's the thing, it's like, I made sure a suggestion, Sarah, Mike, Gabe, Isaac, but it's just a suggestion. If you're bold enough, if you think it's fine, then go into it. It's never like, I think you should do it, right? But the beauty there is you have, you know, a close network that you continuously engage, and sort of imagine doing this by yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And I could have missed Palantir Games right now.
Yeah.
Or NNDM from Zara. Shout out. You know, those are great opportunities to kind of make some sweet when you have people doing this. So I think it's important for, you know, for people. I think that's what's working for me. When you're early in the game, you know, you just, and Isaac has some, like, the question he asked is, like, why do you think it's going to go up? What's the news? Like, those
I would always, Timmy would throw a suggestion sometimes, and he expects me to just take it. But I'm like, bro, you gotta sell it to us. Like,
yeah. Right. So
sometimes they say you have to go through the three whys. If someone throws something out, you have to, if they can't answer the three whys, then you have a trouble. If they say, oh, they're going to make loads of revenue next year, why? Because they've invested in new things and all that. That's going to bring about new Moscow economies of scale. Why? They can't go through it. If they can't go through it, then it's like,
listen, don't ask me three whys. I'm going to give you one why.
Yeah, I know, but look, but it'll make you, like, if someone talks to that, if you talk to that and someone asks three whys, you might think, wait, am I even sure?
Actually, I haven't thought about that. That's the thing about people like Timmy. People like Timmy will be like, do you want to make money or not?
Yeah, take it now. You know what? I have a story to do with Timmy. Tossed that Fiverr. Okay? FVRR. And he tossed it out. It was at 120. And I'm like, oh, wow. I started looking into it. I had to my watch it. Started looking into it. Drops. So like almost like 110 or
105,
something.
Right.
Yeah, 105. I'm like, I gave up. Kicked it out of my watch list. Said goodbye to it. A few days later, he's like, do you guys see Fiverr? I'm like, what? Kick back. It's up. It's up at 150. I'm like, no. It was up back to 120. And I was like, oh, it's okay. Then it kept on going up. Missed my chance to buy. Went all the way up to 170 or 180. I'm like, oh God, I'll never get a chance. He says, it's long time gone. He's in around 160 or something like that. He's like, you're long time. And then I continue watching the stock. Drops back down to like 130, one something. I'm like, oh, it's dropping too much. I'm not going to go in. Second chance, miss out on the stock, goes to 183.
Whoa.
It drops again to 140. I'm like, nah, jumping in now. Buy, I pick up a few. I'm just like chilling. This is going to be a safe, nice bet. Rolls up, keeps on going up, hits 180. I'm like, oh God, I add more, obviously, double up. Goes up, and now it's at 193. Like, this is the easiest money I've ever made in my life. And it took me three goals to do it.
Yeah.
One price.
One thing I like about this is that, like,
I didn't strike out.
I feel like if we continue at this pace anyway, it makes it like, let's say in the next 3-4 years, I think the chances of missing out, because these opportunities won't be frequent, the chances of missing out on some of these opportunities will be quite less.
I say something real quick.
Go on.
So when we throw out suggestions, and this is what works for me, and you guys will probably laugh at me, because if you're throwing a suggestion that I'm hoping that you think you might put your money in, so what I do is, and again, it doesn't work for everyone, I would just go very, very small into that position, like very small position, like just one or two or whatever it is. I know it sounds funny. Just to keep an eye on it. That's why I say my watch list is what I can see. Because
you make your judgment.
Right, because I have this like 150, you know, stock long.
He has a lot of stocks, man.
So I would just like get one just so I can, you know, monitor it. And like NNDM is a good example. When that first came about, I just bought like a very small position and I was just monitoring it. I'm like, okay, it's dropping. Sure, I'll do more research. I just went heavy. And then lo and behold, I don't know what the news was. Good luck with them. I just, you know, saw sweet gains and I just took out some profits. But, you know, if one of us is throwing it out there, if you're brave enough, just go a little bit, just a little bit, just to see it, test the waters.
Yeah. And sometimes what I do is I throw in stuff because I want you guys to go and research it for me sometimes.
Please. You know, just to add to that, watch this point from Yemi. Temi, initially at the start, he helped Captain saying, I'm adding it to my watch list. I'm like, what do you mean? He's just adding it. And then when I find out that he actually means he's bought a few, and then every time now when he adds something, like he promotes, I'm like, hey, I just added this to my watch list. And everybody knows exactly what's going on there. It's not like, oh, I just found it out. I've added it to my
watch list.
I can see it.
All right, guys. It was meant to be 30 minutes. Somehow we've done 45, so I think we'll wrap it up here and we look forward to the next episode. All right, so
take care, guys.